All right. Good morning, everyone. Today we're here to talk about the superintendent's evaluation instrument. Dr. Adams, do you want to start, or we all did everybody get a copy of the instrument? You all have done it before.
Yes.
I haven't.
Yes.
So I don't. If do you want to do it more of a roundtable style with comments and changes, suggestions? What do you think is the best way?
Well, I would say that we could all sort of put our two cents in.
That's what I was thinking.
And give it maybe see if we have some common direction of where we're going.
Perfect. That sounds great. You okay with that, Dr. Adams?
Sure.
Okay.
I think this is the board's prerogative in terms of the evaluation instrument that they want. I know you wanted to discuss it. I took a little time to see, you know, if there are others. They're all pretty similar in terms of things that they're looking for. I told Mr. Pegler, and I can talk a little bit about more. I read something about a 360 review, which I thought was pretty intriguing. That I can tell you how that state used it. But, you know, I think there are some other things that we could talk about, and I'm just open to whatever.
Should we start? We've got the cover, the statement, and then the actual form. Do you want to do them one by one, or do the whole thing? Maybe whatever you all feel would be best.
Sure, Ms. Simmons. Just a general suggestion, and then, you know, throw out an idea. I think my general suggestion would be that the description ratings, that we look at how we do that, and they be a 1 to 5 versus a 1 through 10.
Okay.
And then the second thing I would recommend is that we look at each of the dimensions. I think some of those dimensions need clarity. Some of them are repetitive. And there is not a dimension that addresses meeting some of the goals that have been written out. And I believe that should be integral to the evaluation. If you set goals for what you're going to accomplish, there should be an opportunity to go back and reflect on whether or not they were met, why or why not, and how to improve going forward. And I don't see in any of these dimensions any clarity around goals set.
Could I make a comment about that?
Sure.
There are no goals, specific goals for 2011-12. There will be for 12-13. Mm-hmm. So even within the contract, it had noted that specific goal. Not that I'm arguing that couldn't be in there, but in terms of trying to do it for this year, there were no specific goals that were set.
Right. But if I may,
sure.
Mr. Chair, what I'm thinking is in terms of personal goals, you know, own personal job, beyond my job description, I meet with my employer, and I always set a few goals for things that I would like to accomplish that year. And then when I meet with him at the end and we do an evaluation, we take out those goals and we go through each of them and talk about how they were or were not met. Mm-hmm. That's just more personal goal setting than the district picture.
Why don't we start with the actual evaluation form then? I think that's the best. Ms. Jimenez, as you talked about the ratings 1 to 5, should we talk about that a little bit and maybe figure out what direction we want to head? Right now it's obviously the 1 to 10.
Right.
How does everyone feel about moving to a 1 to 5?
We had a smaller scale and we expanded it back in 2008. And the reason was that going down one, what meant, like say it was a 4 and you went down 1 to 3, that is looked at as not a good score at all.
Okay.
And so if you felt like that there had been a change in progress, or there someone had sort of slacked off something, you really had made a drastic change to lower by one number. So you were left with you were left using fractions, or really impacting the overall score.
Mrs. Johnson,
and I agree with that wholeheartedly. As chairman that first year with our previous superintendent, we did have people who put like a 3.5, that's really hard for a chairman to try and read what that means. I like the fact that we do have a 1 through 10, not because it was my idea, because it wasn't, but I have enjoyed using that. I have enjoyed, as chairman, trying to work with that as far as the superintendent's evaluation, because I think absolutely the community looks at a 1 through 5 rating, and they put a different spin on things than what we had intended at times. And I prefer the 1 through 10. I think it gives more flexibility, more encouragement. And more than anything else, I'll go the opposite way than this Disney did. I think it gives recognition for work well done. When you have a meets expectations, you know, that's okay, you did what we said. But if you have someone who has done above that, that gives recognition for that, but it also gives a greater goal for someone to have to achieve if the next step above that is well above expectations. So that's just my comment on ratings. I understand why 1 through 5 seems easier and more simplified, but more simplified doesn't necessarily mean that it is accomplishing what I feel the evaluation needs to accomplish.
I guess since I put that suggestion forward, I'll explain my rationale. And I think that because we have the descriptors well below expectations, meets expectations, above expectations, and well above expectations, you assume that you begin with someone at a, you know, it would be at a 5-6. And it just playing around with that, those two points, to me, it is just an opportunity not to really do the assessment you need to do. I think that if someone is meeting the expectations, they can be above, well above. The 4 will say it, the 5 will say it, and you just say what you need to say as opposed to trying to find the shade of what you're trying to say. So I just think it gives clarity. It's not a matter of trying to make it easy to do, but I think it really forces you to just say, look, is this person meeting the expectations? Are they above, below? Because if I'm the one that's being evaluated, I really want to know where I stand and where my strengths and weaknesses are, and I believe that that helps it. And in terms of the comment that, you know, the community will interpret it a certain way, this tool is not necessarily for the community. It's for the employee to know where he or she stands, and it is a tool that the community can use to assess that, but I don't think that, you know, that doing it because it'll be easier for the community should be a motivation for having the ratings a certain way. I think it really is it a tool that helps the board pinpoint strengths and weaknesses so we can move forward. So I think the simplicity allows you to do that instead of so many nuances. But that's, again, 1 out of 5, and I'm fine with whatever the board decides.
Mr. Johnson?
And I am, too, whatever the board corporate's decision is. And I probably would agree with you wholeheartedly, Ms. Jimenez, if I hadn't gone through the experience of dealing with board members who chose, because there were only 5 points, to have put down a 2.5 or a 3.5 or those kinds of things. It comes from that experience that's the only reason why I related that, and I still stand by that.
Sure.
Mrs. Disney?
I like the word you used, the shades, because the shades is exactly what we were looking for when if the superintendent was a C, a 3, a middle of the road, and showed improvement, your choice was to give a 4, which said above expectations, when they weren't above expectations, but they had shown improvement from the 3. So, you know, a 4 gives you a chance to show the improvement without misstating by giving a 4. So that's what we were looking for.
I mean, whether it's 1 through 5 or 1 through 10, I mean, simple statistics tells you that you're greater the more time you have for fine detail. And the fact is, if you want to give an employee an above expectations letter grade, or if you want to give them like a meets expectations, and if it was just a 3, it gives no signal whether they're inching towards above expectations, or are they, it was, is it just above, below expectations, or is it just below, above it? You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Obviously, I'm at a disadvantage because I haven't gone through an evaluation before, but I think I like the 1-10 now only because of what we were talking about with the variations of, and I understand what you're saying. I thought maybe condensing it from 1-5 would be good, but after listening to what everybody else has said, I think it'll give us a little bit more flexibility, especially with Dr. Adams, you know, this being the first evaluation and everything, so I'd like to stick with the 1-10. Dr. Adams, do you have any, how do you feel about that?
I'm fine with that. I totally understand, you know, what you're saying in terms of the shading and the showing improvement or not. On the other hand, I'm very familiar with a 1-5 or a 1-4 type of rating. You know, that's kind of standard. That's something that we even ask teachers to look at instead of, you know, all of these. So there are, you know, there's not one that's better than the other. I think it's everybody understanding the 1-10 or the 1-5 and making sure that.
It's a bit analogous, if you would, and Jeff, you weren't around when we were doing this, but there was a quite a bit of work done on Rick Chuma's group's part in reassessing how they evaluate bids for jobs.
Okay.
And they go on these rating scales. And, you know, I just remember in that conversation, I brought up the point of, you know, if you're using a very small, narrow, you know, just going from a 3-4 makes huge difference. And if you follow that math along, you know, you could sink somebody for a big job just because one person had one person.
Right.
If you have a larger scale, you know, more finer scale, then those nuances kind of they the larger scale, the more they go away.
Okay.
Basically.
So I think we'll stick with the 1-10. Should we move on to then the first? Do you want to do each dimension, or would you rather me, everybody just put their 2 cents in, so in case there's a dimension we don't need to worry about? What do you think?
Quite honestly, my opinion is I'd like to discuss certain
dimensions,
but I don't think I need to discuss all 16.
I agree. I was hoping you'd say that.
So,
Mrs. Johnson, do you want to start?
No.
Who wants to start? Ms. Jimenez?
I'll start.
Thanks.
I just want to make a suggestion for the first one. I think that these dimensions need better. The descriptors could be better. The first one is really about public relations. And I would just switch, instead of impact, you know, report building, just make it public relations. Because if you look at each of the points underneath it, it's really about how the individual relates to the community, except for the conflict resolution piece. But I think when you look at all the dimensions, there are little pieces there that don't flow with the general.
So you want the name changed?
Just the dimension. This is the piece on public relations.
Right. Dr. Adams?
I guess one of the things I would want you to be sure you take a look at is it's not just with the community in terms of public mm-hmm. relations. It's is the superintendent building rapport and with the building sites? I mean, what about with the school community itself? And what about things like conflict resolution that occur between sites and, you know, the superintendent getting involved in some of those? So it's, I would view it as bigger than just public relations. It is about building and that rapport with all of the stakeholders.
If you wanted to, you could make, like Claudia says, dimension 1, public relations. Take your 4th and 5th bullet point, mm-hmm. move it to dimension 3.
And if I may,
you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because I think public relations is an area that we really are working to turn around. So it should be a visible, specific goal, not nested in other things. And I think Matt's suggestion would address that concern, just from my perspective of having clarity. What's public relations and what's relationship building and conflict resolution and problem solving with stakeholders and staff.
I mean, it doesn't matter to me. That was just a suggestion for him to do that.
Yeah.
Right under maintains his health.
That other piece, though, that's equally important.
Right under maintains his health.
Right, saw that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we just changed that. Mrs. Disney.
I like five going to the third dimension and changing that to conflict resolution, and leaving four under one, which would be public relations, because the teachers and students are our customers as well.
And or you can say public and staff relations.
Yeah. Or community.
Customer service.
I mean,
yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
Customer service.
Mm-hmm. Well, encompasses all.
It's our first bullet. That's the one thing I was going to say. Mm-hmm. You know, if we say public relations, it's kind of like, I don't know.
Do you want to call community relations? Or does that?
No, not if we leave the fourth bullet.
So community and staff or.
We don't have to leave that one at number one.
Yeah, exactly.
Range right. Over we want.
Be number 47.
I mean, is that really the is that the number one thing above integrity and?
I mean, we could put them alphabetically for that matter, just so that there isn't.
And I like that
a
idea.
We've discussed that something's more important than that.
Dr. Adams.
It really is about dimension six is communication. In other words, if you look at dimension six, it does talk about public relations. It talks about various groups, and I think good public relations with anybody is built on good communication. So some of those pieces that you're talking about are embedded in other areas. So,
Maybe we want to do away with dimension one altogether. And move those things we feel appropriate and not be redundant, because I'm looking at dimension one,
right.
And gosh almighty, if you look at six, there's
very, yeah.
It's very similar, it's just phrased differently for almost all of those.
You're right.
And I think another.
And I like integrity being the first thing. I'm sorry, I just do.
Aww. It's overrated. I'm kidding.
The lawyer speaks up.
The lawyer who is coming out. I just.
You know, McCain was quoted for a similar subject. So you need to be careful. He made the headline.
What I did?
We said integrity, and he said it's overrated.
I was being sarcastic.
For the
record, I was being sarcastic.
I just wanted to make a comment that I notice this every time that I fill this out. We have all of these dimensions, and there is not one that talks about the responsibility for academic achievement, even though I understand that it's embedded in there. But this is an educational organization, and the biggest job that our superintendent has is to educate and inspire all students, and there is not a dimension that specifically addresses the accountability around achievement. That is the biggest responsibility of the superintendent. You know, and all of these things make it happen. But I would think that would be the first one, because we're an educational institution.
Dr. Adams?
Could I ask those, because I've really not paid too much attention to this in the past, but in the strategic plan, we set goals. And the superintendent then sets, the board sets the goals, and then the superintendent sets the action plan of how those are done. Is the overall evaluation of the superintendent two parts? One, are the goals that's been established by the board and the progress made on the goals? And then this part that?
No.
Okay, then there really isn't anything in
Claudia,
here.
I think,
that
is right on with her statement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
that
they are have been
it's missing
two different ways.
But it's missing, but your evaluation is based on what you've seen happen academically within.
Right.
Has it been a separate piece? No, it has never been a separate piece. Now, when we have our discussions with the superintendent regarding the evaluation, that always has been, at least in my discussions, has been paramount as it relates to other things. But
Mrs. Disney?
Quick reminder, everybody, please turn your phones off before the meeting starts.
The strategic goals and the plan are tied to the bonus.
Right.
Oh.
The end
which
of
you're
the
not
year
getting.
Bonus.
Does that mean I don't have to have
them? Okay. Wrong tense. Wrong tense.
They were tied to the bonus.
And now they are tied to...
They're going to be tied to their discussion, though. Yeah, but they were tied to the end of your bonus.
Okay.
And
that was...
So she's right. They're not embedded in this.
No. And you know, when you look at this, because I sat down and I actually went through the strategic plan, and there are so many items there that are pending feedback. And one would think that if one is doing an evaluation that's assessing success, there's so much here where the feedback is going to allow us to determine the success of all of these different goals that were set in conjunction with the board, which is part of your job. And there's, you know, I don't know if there's a way to tie it, because when I look at this, a lot of time it says data not available, but then we finish and this document just becomes a document because the feedback hasn't been produced.
Dr. Adams?
So one of the things that happens is the superintendent's evaluation takes place in May, mm-hmm. and you don't have any data.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So that's real in terms mm-hmm. of right. not having the information on those yeah. pieces. And
that was why the bonus was tied to the goals, because yeah. the bonus did not have to be paid before the contract was renewed, but the
right.
evaluation had to be done before the contract would be renewed, hence the May deadline.
Mrs. Johnson?
And I think rather than achievement, I think we need to perhaps entitle that first dimension academic success. And I say that because we can be highly successful in one area based on what we actually have been able to achieve. However, achievement based on what the state standard is
right.
could be a misnomer. And I just really feel that I prefer the word success. That doesn't mean that you're going to be being recognized as a high-performing school district is wonderful. But we know within that, embedded within that, are areas where... we didn't achieve certain goals, so I think achieve is not necessarily, for me anyway, but academic success, I think, is paramount before you even start talking about integrity and being out in the, you know, we did the integrity bit, hopefully, when you were, I'm not saying we need to do away with it, Mr. Council.
It is not overrated.
But I think that all is tied in together. And I absolutely do think that's where we should start. I agree with Ms. Jimenez. That's where we should start.
And
so
it's got to be measurable.
Success.
I mean,
absolutely.
Whatever you do, it's got to be measurable. But one of the dilemmas we face as far as
data. I'm sorry, I have to leave my daughter fainted at school. She's got the same respiratory thing. She's done a lot of medication.
Any notes you want to maybe share with the group?
The only thing I want to tell you is that I wrote this piece in 2008,
right.
but this cover was designed to explain this timeline.
Yes.
Okay.
These two go together.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the purpose and beliefs, this was something that we all put together.
Okay.
And the procedures were there to explain how to move forward.
Okay. If we change then dimension one to academic success, what are we going to use for the dimensions, the bullets?
Let's see. If I get back in time, I'll
yeah, just
come back.
Yeah.
Did you text Jeff or something?
Yeah, just let me know. Sure,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope she's okay.
I think... success is something we can measure without goals. I really do, because some things have happened under your watch already this year. So I don't want this to be goals, in my opinion. I think that I don't know what the answer is. Somebody smarter than me, maybe somebody with a degree in law and getting paid per word, could come up with something. But
that gets me into trouble all the time.
I was talking about Ms. DeGrasse. Well, you really thought I was talking about it. But I do like that as the first one, and I think that there has to be some other school districts who would use that as part of their evaluations.
Absolutely.
There has to be. So I don't want to necessarily reinvent the wheel. I want it to become ours, but I'd like to see something for that. And I really wasn't teasing. I would think Ms. DeBrex can get that for us pretty good.
I actually brought an example of another superintendent evaluation that put a lot of information in this piece, so I'll
thank
be
you.
Happy to provide copies.
You're Johnny on the spot, aren't you?
You
great.
I'd like to get ahead of the curve.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I was going to just comment on the academic success piece. I think it's a good opportunity to not necessarily rely on the FCAT or, mm-hmm. you know, No Child Left Behind. It's an opportunity for us to really evaluate the superintendent on what our district is doing. And even though, you know, the high school may be a B, we might find as the local school board that you are successful, and that'll, you know, I just want to be able to build, and I think it gives us a little bit of an opportunity to evaluate you on what our district is really doing being here. Does that make sense to everyone? Okay. Ms. Jimenez, you look like she...
I'm thinking. Because one of the things that I would like to see is, in order for our schools to be academically successful, we know that we have a challenge with students being engaged sometimes. And the blame tends to fall on the teachers and the school system. And I think that part of academic success, a big part of it, is the leadership at each individual site. And that is something that the superintendent has tremendous authority on, because the superintendent is the one that evaluates those site leaders. So I would want to see under academic success, you know, one of those pieces is the way the leadership of each site is held accountable. And that's something that we see day in and day out as we see what's happening in the schools. And then the teacher morale and teacher buy-in comes from the tone set by the leadership. So that should be a dimension nested in there that I think it is really an indicator of that academic success that leads to academic success.
Do you feel comfortable with that? Ms. DeGresta, do you think, how should we move forward with this dimension? Should we look at the previous example, the example you have, and then does everybody want to comment on it?
Could you just state that, a couple of those comments that are in there under academic success?
The example that I brought is actually very voluminous. A lot of it is very detailed, but there were some specific indicators that talked about your basics. Some elementary information, some middle information, some high information, some graduation
sure,
rate information,
sure.
Just your basic data.
Is that something maybe that I know you and the chairman meet on other issues, maybe you all could come back with something, and since it is so much information.
That sounds, and then we'll bring it
so we get copies of it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. I can make copies so we can.
Dr. Adams?
And one of the things I would say is, even though data comes after the fact, it's what you do with the information. So you want to be held accountable to using the data that you get and coming up with some kind of an action plan based on that. So those are the kinds of things that you would want to hold me accountable to is, okay, you might not have all of the specifics at the time of the evaluation, but what have you done over the year based on the information?
Plus, you know the
trends.
From looking at the data, you know where you've been, where the district has been. So, right now.
Great. Okay, so we'll address Dimension 1, but we will change Dimension 1 to academic success now. Everybody's okay with that?
And you're going to move and check and see on item 6 if there's redundancy, and maybe item 6 seems, for some reason, every line is, or every bullet is long, so maybe we want to look at that in a more...
Well, the last bullet in Dimension 1 as it stands now probably would fit better in Dimension 3.
This provides information.
Right.
The conflict resolution, I would think, goes into Dimension 3 a lot better.
Yeah.
Great.
I would agree.
And in fact, it's probably redundant. But.
And then 1, 3, 4, we'll check 6 and see if they're redundant
right.
or not, or modify. All right. So we'll move on now to how does everybody feel? Integrity will leave as number 2. Okay. Anybody have any comments about that one?
Ooh.
I think that one is not okay.
It's not.
No, I think that one is well written. I think it's good.
I still think it should be 1.
You do?
So we'll do integrity 2.
2, yes.
3 now is the... we weren't going to go through them individually.
No.
Okay. Mr. Jones, does anybody have any comments? Then now we'll move on.
So would 3 be the impact community building one?
Should we leave it as impact rapport building or
right.
impact community building? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, maybe that's a good way to do it, is talk about
that. What's that?
You convinced me that it's more than just...
It's talk about that. Just
yeah.
the dimension,
not sure,
each
not
and
each.
Every line.
Well, and the PR piece, Claudia, is really number 6.
It is. I agree. And the communication.
The communication. Right.
And obviously we'll change his to her.
Yeah, everywhere.
Everywhere.
Actually, it should be his
or
slash
there.
Her.
Yeah.
Slash
or there.
Her.
There. Not his or her, but there.
Yeah.
It's not gender specific.
Okay, work standards. Everybody comfortable with that?
I put it next to that accountability.
Uh-huh.
I think that that's where the accountability is.
You know, it's interesting. In number 1, then, insists on effective performance from associates and subordinates does fall in then. Will overlap with our new number 1.
And you may want to work, when you all work on the number 1, you may want to look at cleaning up both number 1 and 4.
Yeah.
Right. Because I see some areas that are could be construed as either. And if we can shorten the number of things, that also would not be terrible.
Yeah.
I'm not saying.
Number 5 is technical professional knowledge. Any comments? No?
I just wanted to ask why the technical piece? Why not just professional knowledge?
Dr. Adams.
My thing would be technical is then that when you look at finance, it has its own, mm-hmm. you know. Language, it has its own. When you look at curriculum, it has its own language, it has its own specific things that you need to know. So I think they are technical in that sense, but the different areas that you look at have their own level of expertise and technical information, if you will.
Yeah, it might help if I'm looking to hire a tax preparer who's a CPA.
Yeah.
The first thing I'm going to look for, you know, before you look at, do you think they fit in well together? Do you think they got to go work with all? First, you want to know, do they have the technical knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have the credentials? Do they have the technical knowledge to be able to perform the task?
Yeah.
You see what I mean? And then you'd look into all those other things. I don't know if that helps.
Ms. Jimenez?
Yeah, and I do have a question. I've always been curious about bullet number 2, where it's, I understand the seek self-improvement, but it says, does self-evaluation and encourages staff to do likewise. Is that actually done? I've always wanted for the superintendent to fill out his or her own evaluation so that when we meet, we can have, you know, a point of reference, and that really helps us to further deepen the conversation as opposed to, you know, I come in with my form and I kind of tell you what I'm thinking, and, you know, I think you need an opportunity to reflect so that you can see where we're coming from, because each board member has a different perspective. And again, I draw that from my own experience. In my job, that's the way it's done. I get to fill out whatever tool is being used to evaluate me, and then when I'm evaluating, I get some input too. And
Mrs. Johnson?
And I understand that, but you also are not under the Sunshine Law, and I would have take great exception to having the superintendent fill out something that at the end of the day, when the board chairman does the final evaluation, the comparison being made. I mean, I'm just looking at the reality and things that have been done.
Would her form be under
Absolutely.
Sunshine?
Okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Egreston.
it would be.
But I retract my comment. I just thought it. Anything she does, anything in this building is subject to sunshine.
Okay.
Anything.
Dr. Adams.
And here's what I would say about that is it's one thing to have it in writing. You better believe that I'm going to do a lot of reflecting before I come into your evaluation in terms of looking at this and reflecting myself on, you know, what are some things that I can, that I have to hold myself accountable to. So, but this is the board's evaluation.
Right.
But I think the self-evaluation is always an important aspect of what I should be doing in preparation for it.
And the staff
giving you something.
Do self-evaluation, is that a standard that staff does self-evaluation? Or is that also just reflected?
Isn't that on your evaluation for improvement? Or?
Yes, and they set their goals. You meet with them 2 or 3 times, hopefully 4
right.
times this year, to go over that and see what the progress is, and they are reflecting on what they've done at this point. So that's how those monitoring progress.
Mrs. Johnson.
And I'll give Dr. Adams a heads up, not on every dimension, but on a good number of dimensions. That's what I do as part of my discussion on the evaluation is try to draw out what our superintendent feels have been the strengths for the year and on a particular dimension or overall, always at the end. And this is a good verbal communication for us one-on-one to be able to talk about some things that maybe as individual board members, or at least for me, where I can bring forward some of the things that I think need to be looked at in the future. Not that there's going to be any penalty points for that,
right?
But that I feel, you know, could be causal in some way for where we could, maybe we're not as successful as we could have been. And if you don't discuss those, then that's unfortunate for a wonderful opportunity to have been missed.
I would just like to comment that I think that an evaluation is something that, which is that, in other words, what kind of professional growth does that person need moving forward that would help, you know, professional development. Professional development, that's what I meant. Because there are always areas that, as I work with my own staff, there may be some professional development that would help them in some of those areas. So I think that's an area, like Mrs. Johnson says, that could be an outgrowth of
anything else? All right, moving on to communication, which is dimension 6. We've talked about any other comments regarding that. We'll go through it and clean it up when we combine it with number 1. Dimension 7 is decision making. Any comments? Yeah. All right. Mrs. Johnson?
This was one that I really had. I think that decision making and analysis could almost be combined in the same in the one thing that I would be looking for, and it can still be called decision making, but I think analysis could also be incorporated in that. I think there's all of these things are so specific in each of these dimensions that it leads you to believe that this is what you need to be looking at for decision making, and there may be something within your own experience that you'd like to include and not exclude anything, but you'd like to include as part of that. And I think these are so specific in some areas that it can be rather hobbling as far as what your evaluation is.
So, Dr. Adams.
So the goal is not to check off that the person has done.
Absolutely not.
The goal is to look at it as a whole and, you know, say, okay, this is what decision making is.
But you need to know those. We need to let you know this is what we're going to be looking at,
yeah.
Unless we change one of those or eliminate them or move them somewhere else.
Yeah. But as a board member, you're not looking to say, oh, okay.
I don't, but each board member does something differently.
Yeah.
I may think you're a fabulous communicator. I mean, and we've run into this. We have run into board chairmen who come up with a 1 and a 5. Back when we had the 1 through 5,
mm-hmm.
a 1 and a 5, and this is what Matt was referring to, and suddenly that person that superintendent became a 3,
mm-hmm.
because of what the spread was. But my interaction, I mean, I don't think any of us are naive enough not to think that that is an issue always. There's some superintendents that everybody has a very differing opinion on their effectiveness. and their capabilities. So that automatically colors what each of us are going to look at these. But to sit here and say, you have achieved each one of these,
right.
I may not care whether or not you actually, some of these are, as I look at them, not necessary, but they're here. Let's say I didn't think that you used deliberate and defined process in making decisions. Just because you came up with a decision I didn't like, I didn't think you were doing. Do you see what I'm saying? So to say that that I have to sit here and check that off as part of my evaluation, no, I wouldn't do that.
Usually when I look at dimensions, usually a dimension will have a definition of what does that dimension mean. And then my experience is we usually call these indicators. In other words, these are some indicators of what analysis means.
And I like that suggestion.
You know, that's more the language and then indicators. That you usually use.
Indicators.
Here are some indicators
right.
that give you
yes.
an idea of what
good decision making. I like that.
That's right. And
good.
And
good.
There may even be some definitions out there, education definitions on like rapport building. Because these are very similar to the principal competencies, and they provide like a definition, and then these are indicators of things that you could do to show that dimension that you're competent in.
And if, although she's not here, I would like to say that Miss Disney took on this project. That's why she wanted you to know that this cover, the timeline, that did not exist before 2006. I mean, there was a timeline, but it wasn't defined as to what the specifics were going to be. But she did this piece, and she took our comments at that time, mm-hmm. and which nobody took exception to. I think there was maybe one thing that we eliminated, but you know, she really deserves recognition for what she did here as chairman.
Okay, so do we agree to change those to indicators then?
Yes.
Yes.
I like that.
Ms. Menes?
And I just want to follow up that we started with the conversation of combining decision making and analysis. Is that something
you would feel should be put together? Or
I just, when I look at this, and I think when you were giving your example of something you're not going to check off, some of these are probably questions that you might want to ask, but from seeing the results, we don't know what your process is. We don't know if it's systematic. We don't know, you know, it almost seems like some of this, I know where it's getting at as an indicator, mm-hmm. but it's almost superfluous because when you come up with a decision, you have some process for coming up with a decision. And we just see the results, and that's all we can really evaluate you on the results. Was it a good decision or a bad decision? And maybe if you're making a lot of bad decisions, we might say, oh, you need help with that process. But I just think that doesn't really help us move forward in terms of, you know, we could combine them because there are things here that are a little superfluous, I think.
Combine and perhaps combine the number of our choice of bullets and all that we're using, because a couple of them do seem a little redundant.
And I agree. I think we all, you know, we're operating under different methods. You know, someone might be more analytical than someone else, but you really have to evaluate the end result. And if that leads you to a discussion regarding the process that was used to get there, that would be more of a discussion, I think. The evaluation is going to be based on, you know, the decision. So maybe we leave it as decision making, mm-hmm. and incorporate some of the indicators from analysis in there.
Yeah, just let me
give
an example.
Sure.
If you look at dimension number 1 under 7, uses a systematic process, and then under analysis, if you look at number 1, that's describing a process.
Right.
Concept, hypothesis, blah, blah, blah. So one of those two can be eliminated. If you look at dimension 8, you look at the third bullet, demonstrates a perspective and awareness of the big picture, blah, blah, blah. And then you look at the last one, identifies important issues and problems. There's overlap there. One of those, you know, that can be put together as one
sure.
bullet. So I guess the question is who's going to go through that and make that little...
Chairman.
We can say that that's something that needs to be done, but how does that happen?
Well, we'll go. Maybe what we'll do is I'll sit down with Ms. DiAgresta when we go through the evaluation that she had.
Okay.
We'll put together a revised document, obviously, and then in a round table we'll go through it again for the final comments. Mr. Johnson?
And I do apologize. You had asked us to please send you our recommendations. I did not.
I didn't, but you know what? Nobody else did either.
Oh, okay.
So.
Apparently, I lost your email address.
His dog ate.
But I do apologize
it's like
for that.
At least you can throw your daughter and tell
this would have been easier if I had put some of these comments down. So I do apologize. But I promise you that giving you the authority and not commenting at this point, I will not do that to you, except for incidentals when we go back to the round table.
I'll put it on as my item for the next round table
for February.
But it's good to have this though, because it's giving us a direction to head in.
But I do apologize for that, because you did ask for that.
Could
you also look at Roman numeral 9, because it seems to also be getting into what Mrs. Jimenez was talking about, some redundancy. So if you're comfortable, perhaps incorporating some of that as
perfect.
Well.
So we can really clean up.
Just handle that.
Okay. 7, 8, and 9. And then 10 and 11 are similar again.
Yeah.
Who, do you have any, organizational sensitivity and additional organizational sensitivity?
Right, yes.
Being really sensitive. I get it.
Really, 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 really.
And again,
but be tough.
Yeah.
Right. Be sensitive, but be tough.
Some of these are good. But we'll clean it up. Does anybody have anything specific about 10 or 11? It's interesting. You have operates in a style appropriate to site-based management.
Uh-huh.
These all sort of, they really do interrelate, so maybe we can. Number 12 is leadership independence. Anything? No. 13, planning and organization.
I would like to see the first bullet on planning and organization to be acknowledges direction of the school board members. The corporate direction of the school board members or something like that.
Or corporate direction.
Yeah. Acknowledges in planning and organization. I know you use community input and principles, but I do know that over the years there have been instances where at school sites where some of that there's been a little pushback on some of the things. And especially as we enter into this year with opening up some contracts and some other things we're going to have to be looking at. And I say this only because having experienced as a chairman previously, to have to keep fighting for the board the same corporate direction. This happened way back when Dr. Pritchett was here, sometimes with staff. I'm not just talking about negotiations. I'm talking about a couple of other incidents where I always spoke the board corporate's direction. And sometimes there was pushback from staff on some things when we had given direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean the superintendent. I'm just saying from staff. So I think that's really important as far as planning and organization goes. Now, we may not have given you any direction,
right.
So that would
no,
be appropriate. But if we have,
right.
then
right.
that needs to be the first card that is turned. Okay.
Are you okay with that,
Dr.
Adams? Anybody else? So we're going to add the first indicator under that dimension is going to be acknowledges direction of the board corporate, something like that.
Yeah,
to that effect.
Or something. Yeah.
Okay.
No pride of ownership on that.
Right. Well, number 14 is delegation. Any comments about that?
Yeah. I like the last bullet.
The four answers.
I really do. I think that sometimes there is a feeling, or at least since the time I've been on the board, I'm not speaking of like this moment, but since I've been on the board, that sometimes people feel that, you know, they were expected to do their jobs and not come up with, you know, you should be busy doing your job and following directions. And I think that we've had a couple of instances over the years where there are some folks, if we'd listened to them, could have done some things really a whole lot time-saving and dollar-saving for us if we had just listened to them. And I think that's really important.
Delegation to me, it's hard personally for me to evaluate the superintendent, and I almost feel like it's a judgment call. Again, I'm going back to all I care about is the result, or that's my focus is. I shouldn't say that's all that I care about. My focus is the result, and I hate, you know, if the superintendent, it's hard for me to evaluate when she finds it appropriate to delegate something or not. So one of the things is, you know, delegates a decision-making authority to the lowest level. I'm not sure that that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just a little bit, I don't know how to assess that one or use it as a method to evaluate.
Would it make you feel better if it said lowest appropriate level?
Yeah, okay.
Well, how about if we just eliminate it?
Or eliminate it.
But I think that there's we've seen examples, or since I've been on the board, I've seen examples of delegation that sometimes I look at it and I go, yes, this needs to be done because the superintendent can't do everything, and if the superintendent finds a qualified person that can take on that task, I'm comfortable with it. He or she is the professional. But other times, I look at them and I go, oh no, that is your job, and I don't want you delegating your job.
Okay.
So there is a fine line, and it gives you the opportunity to have those conversations.
Dr. Adams?
I think determines the most appropriate person to handle the task responsibly.
There you go.
Says it.
Right.
The thing about authority to the lowest level, that's, I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I'd like to eliminate it.
Okay.
I think the other, you know, indicator.
I'd like to eliminate that indicator.
And Ms. Jimenez, thank you, because I was looking at it. I wasn't looking at the perspective of a delegation that wasn't successful, or something the superintendent really should have taken hold of, he or she, so that helps.
Yeah.
Dr. Adams?
And I, since I've been in it, look at it a little differently in that it is very important that you delegate, because you've got to build your organization. You've got to build competency in the people that you work with. So I do think that it's a very important thing that the superintendent not get into the weeds of everything. So I think delegation is an important skill that you have to work on, but I think those indicators, you know, give a good idea, but I do think it's important.
I mean, it's good basic business management. Management 101 in
it
college,
is.
You know.
Yeah.
The thing is, you know, any successful business, anything you've got subordinates who can handle it, let them handle it. You know, go to the lowest possible level that can handle it.
Yeah.
Mrs. Johnson?
And I do think, too, that already with some of the changes in the organizational chart and some lower staff decisions that you've made since up to this point, you have used the phrase that, you know, we don't always put people in the best arenas for them to be successful. Mm-hmm. And I think you've made some of those changes, and we have seen wonderful, wonderful things come out of that. So far. But I do think that's part of it. I really do. And we need to give you direction, but we need to let you do that evaluation, because you're going to be the one who's going to have to. You don't have to be accountable if we direct. If we get so far down in the weeds, we're directing you for those decisions, then shame on all of us.
Just hold me accountable for the decisions.
That's right. That's right.
Ms. Jimenez?
And then, wouldn't that. Since these are just indicators to
right.
give us, you know, what would that dimension look like? Maybe a bullet that has something to the effect empowers new leadership.
Yeah.
You know, and something along those lines, because that is a sign of an effective leader. That they don't create the dependency around themselves and their leadership, but they empower others mm-hmm. to lead based on their skills and abilities. So that could be a bullet that describes that part of the dimension.
I was actually going to say, you use the phrase built competency within the organization.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Something I think that that's a great
I
indicator.
Like that. Yes.
Anything else?
And I actually, yes, I actually like that. I know what Ms. Jimenez is getting at with it, with empowers leadership, but I also do like that builds competency with the organization, because we do have some areas of leadership that may not necessarily be in everyone's best interest for them to be too empowered.
All right.
Taking names here.
Dimension 15 is control.
At the school board, board corporate, or some such thing, that's control. That's control.
Does anybody have any comments about that?
That actually is a dimension I think could be eliminated, and in my opinion.
I think it's in the weeds.
It is.
But you know.
Well, no, it's not in the weeds for us. I think it's. I think we have other areas where that is more appropriately addressed.
Yeah, okay. Ms. Jimenez?
Yeah, I don't think it's so much as it's control as it's time management. And I do think that you definitely need to hold the super accountable for setting timelines and meeting expectations and meeting those deadlines. But it should be like under, you know, professional or technical. I don't know. This is just one trait that needs to be. I don't think it justifies an entire dimension.
I don't think it does.
But
either.
There's a place where it somewhere is an indicator.
Could it be work standards?
Yeah,
work standards on 4 or 5.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I thought we were going to try and incorporate 1 through 4, and. Well, we can include it, make that all the more. I think I would work standards or technical professional.
Okay.
Or something like that.
4 or 5.
But it needs to be a bullet. It doesn't need to be its own.
The whole dimension. Dr. Adams, are you okay with that?
Sure.
Okay. 16, then, is overall performance.
What?
I think that that's self-explanatory. All right. So if everyone will send me comments.
Bye.
Let's see. We're going to have to meet before the roundtable. How about January 24th by our next board meeting?
Any further comments?
Then that'll give time to a couple weeks then.
Otherwise
to put it together.
Hold your peace.
Yes.
Can I save an email and give a comment?
Yeah.
Under Dimension 6, where it says communication, one of the things that we've come up against in the past is that whole issue of transparency and timeliness of information. And I think that would go under communication. Just transparency with the public, and then the timeliness of documents and minutes and things like that being available to board and to the community as warranted is it could be an indicator that would be worth them.
And I think it is. I think it's very, very worthy. Both of those comments. I'm assuming you're talking about those separate. Those two separate.
Yeah,
absolutely. I would fully support that.
Great. So I'll start working with Ms. DiAgresta to revise it, and then we'll just be able to plug in people's comments and bring it back for the next roundtable.
And I think that this is very important because I know we had talked briefly about the community's perception, but this is what the community looks to see what we think is going on with our superintendent. And the community, we owe that to our community. When we're talking about transparency, this to me is a huge, huge piece of transparency. The community deserves it, and they deserve for us to do exactly what we did today, which was to talk about things that we think are important, and for the leadership, the one of the two people that we hire, that we have that capability to do is and we need to hold always hold accountable as to their competency. So I think this is a huge community piece as far as letting people in the community know what's going on or what we think is going on.
The cover, does anybody have any comments about that? It's really just an informational document.
Right, and I think this is also another piece where this lets everybody know what the process is that we've come up with. And having been in this school district a long time, I'm sure Mr. McCain can probably relate from stories he has heard over the years. You know, with it, this is not a walk in the office, talk about the latest sports scores kind of thing. And years ago, we did have that. And now, now this is at a new level, and it is really important that for you to be successful and our district to be successful. And those things are not mutually exclusive. And we can control what we can control. And I just think it's important for the community to know how we've come up with this evaluation. And again, I think Karen did a great job on this this cover, and she put a lot of work into that. So hats off to her. Do we have any changes that we wanted to talk about on the timeline? And I just think the timeline, I'd like to see us included here that if this is going to be, I assume, Ms. Stang, this is available to the public. Do we have this under anything on our website, or will we?
It will go on the calendar as soon as the board is in agreement with it. I've been waiting for final word from the superintendent and the chair to go ahead with those dates and times.
Okay.
Once that's done, it will be on our main calendar.
Well, it, to me, when I look at this, April 30th is the, it looks like that's the first time we've ever talked about this. I'd like today's workshop to be on there. I would like the deadline of the 24th to be on there for us to be discussing or to have additional input on superintendent's evaluation. I think too many times people think we come in and rubber stamp things that are being done, and I think that adding to this timeline will give a different perspective. And then the round table needs to be on there.
We'll do, say, final discussion.
Right, so you have January, you have, I mean, we at least people know we've been thinking about it and working on it for a while. And if it's there in some format, then that also gives the public to, or teachers or staff or anybody to, good and bad, you know. And so far I've heard mostly good, Dr. Adams. So, but I think that's, if they know that's coming up, I think that just needs to be on there.
Valentine's Day, February 14th.
Well, I prefer flowers to change.
She got flowers today. Okay, but then are you okay with the April 30th and the May 11th?
I'm fine.
All right.
I'm fine with that. As long as the superintendent is with those dates, I'm fine with that.
And what about the procedure? Is everybody okay with that? What I'll do on the top, I mean, I'm going to take off 2008 to 2009 procedure. It'll just be the procedure. We'll do updated 2000, whatever we find, you know, do the final discussion. Keep it in place. Mrs. DiAgresta?
On your timeline document, under the May 22nd date, the second reference to the May 22nd date, you have approval of superintendent's contract. And I mean, I hate to be the lawyer in the room. You've already approved a superintendent's contract, so you won't be approving a contract. You could take action on it to change it somehow, but you wouldn't necessarily be approving a contract.
We somewhere have to... Well, we don't have to. When we've had rolling contracts, but that's not where we are.
So, you're right.
That
means, future year, you would take action with regard to the rolling aspect of the contract. But for this first year, you know, you could terminate the contract keep reading. You know, have discussions about money, those sorts of things, but you're not really approving technically a contract.
So we'll just take that off completely.
Or just action.
And we're not taking any action on salary either this year. So.
You know, any right. school board action on the superintendent's contract would be taken at that time. Okay. If you, just to like keep it in the back of your mind, if you want to take action, that's your date.
That's it. So we'll leave May 22nd, but at the way business meeting approval of superintendent's assessment.
Take that second.
And leave, take the second part off. Okay. What about, are we still okay with the June 5th and the July 24th dates for the goal setting and the superintendent's adoption of superintendent's goals?
July 24th will be our only meeting in July. Is that correct, Dr. Adams?
Yeah.
June 5th, when is the last day of school? So that might be the Tuesday of the last week, do you think?
No, I thought the first.
That's just the first.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Ms. Minnis?
I just have a clarification question. This workshop on June 5th, that's the same strategic plan?
No.
This document right here. When do we?
We're going to set goals and then we do a strategic plan after we set goals.
Which
we set the goals and then we.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
We set the goals and then that's how it's going to happen.
But this is not the document I'm going to start from.
Women.
When we set goals on
I see no reason to. We have a new superintendent. We have I think that's an important historical reference. As it should be, but I would think our goal setting, and it also depends on, we still don't have a...
That's what I was going to say. We need to talk about this, because I think that there's a little bit of disjointedness. We have the meeting scheduled for, tentatively scheduled for next Tuesday, which was a strategic planning session. But then we also have, and we have the strategic plan... But then we have the superintendent's goals also and goal setting. So I just, I'm confused.
I could be entirely wrong. It has always been the goals come first. How do you come up with plans and not have goals set? You have to set your goals, and then that's how the goals are carried out. Just because it says strategic planning doesn't necessarily mean that it's excluding the goal setting portion.
Okay, Dr. Adams?
As I reflect on how we started with that, the school board came up with the overarching goals.
Right.
Right?
And you came back with that.
And then the superintendent came back with the objectives, which in essence become the goals, become the goals that you are setting for the superintendent to meet your overarching goals, okay? I don't know whether that was a separate piece from what you did on the goals before. That's what I don't know.
The strategic plan?
Yes, because the strategic plan has five or six overarching goals.
Right.
And then underneath that, I know that we would work as divisions to
exactly
set up
right.
what our objectives were going to be, which meant that were my goals as assistant superintendent for curriculum to meet these goals for the superintendent.
Because we're not fish and fowl. This board does not tell you what to do and then turn around and tell you how to do it.
Right.
But we want to know how you're going to do it. Right. That's what that document is.
That's the how.
That's the how.
That's not the goals.
That's not the goals.
Okay.
Ms. Jimenez.
So here's my question. I understand that we have a new superintendent and all of this stuff are the goals that we developed previously with that superintendent. However, since I've been on the board, every year the goals have been focused on this template with minor tweakings and minor additions, but really this has been kind of like the Bible for the strategic plan and the goals. My concern is that as we move forward with our new vision and our new leadership, there are some items here that are really interesting that if you think about, 4 years were spent on these goals, and I think that, and it's just me, but I would expect that some of the updates and results of this goal setting be provided so that we know if these are goals that we need to follow up on or if these goals have been met. And when does that happen? When it is, I mean, who is going to look through this document and update on all of these different goals that were set? For example, we've got a lot of mention here of the LEADS training. And every year there was mention of LEADS training. Well, what have been the results of all this LEADS training, and what do we have to show for it? Or, if you know, there's, we have all these minority students that we want taking classes. Okay, so we have the numbers, but has that been successful? Have those minority students needed support to be successful, or have they had to drop out? Or, you see what I'm saying? So there's so much. And when is any of this going to really be followed up on so we can say, okay, this is what we've done. This is what has been accomplished or not because of these challenges. And as we move forward, do we need to revisit this or do we need totally separate goals? I feel like we're in a little limbo, if you will.
Mrs. Johnson?
But those are not the goals. That's how you said we need totally separate goals. The goals are the overarching...
Right, and they're
goal.
Right in here.
Right.
Each of these has...
Right.
A goal.
And I think that's very important to know what your goals are.
Mm-hmm.
And it may benefit us as a group, as a new team, to sit and say, do we think this has been accomplished? What do you know about certain things that have been accomplished internally? But I also remember a time where there was not an item on the agenda where it was not tied with a little disclaimer of what goal and what strategy it was, and I'm sure you remember that, bringing things forward. That was, to me, was just saying that it pertains to a particular goal or strategy for each agenda item. You can put it anywhere you want. You can say, well, this will achieve this. So if all it is checking off part of the strategic plan, and that's pretty much what they did. I wasn't on the board then, but that's what they did. Will say, we're doing this, we're checking this off. I don't want time spent with that. I want to be able to have staff say, and our evaluation of what we see happening during the year, has this been achieved, and was it beneficial? Don't spend staff time on something that we don't need to be spending. And this, we're talking about a huge amount of staff time for a staff that, in my opinion, is already stretched to the max. So I'm not saying we don't need it. I think we desperately need it.
Right, but you know, again, if you look at these goals, here's the example.
But that's why we need the history.
You survey
yes.
the community. You survey the parents.
Right.
We get reams of paper with survey results. What I want to know is, what are the main things that are coming out of that survey that are concerns from the community, from the parents, from the staff surveys, and what is being done about it? That's what I think a board member should
mm-hmm.
be privy
Absolutely.
To and should be expecting results from, as opposed to just checking things off and saying, yes, we do a million surveys. Here they are. Big deal if we don't do something with them, learn from them, and transform our organization and improve it. That's what I'm asking about. I'm not asking for wasting staff time. I'm just asking for some accountability.
Oh, I didn't mean to imply you were. I'm just saying that,
you know,
that was
Dr.
not
Adams.
Beneficial.
The way I understand strategic plans, in other words, these are very overarching goals that say, here's in the next 3 years, here's where we want to go as a school district. Okay, you are thinking big. All right. You know, these are important enough that as a board, you're saying we want the culture of the school district to change and we want it to be this, you know, whatever. Then it's up to your superintendent to find ways to make that happen, and then yearly you look at it to see if you're making any progress.
Right.
But it's bigger, overarching goals. So the template is a good template in that it has your beliefs and all of that that you want to look at, and do we still believe, does any of this need to be changed? But the rest of it is not looking backwards, but saying, are there some of these that we need to change, or do we need to change it altogether? Because this is us deciding in the next few years, where do we want our big picture to be? Does that
yeah.
make sense?
Of course it does.
But at the end of every year, we want to have feedback to you as a board about where we are with regard to making that happen.
Right.
And then I guess you're also setting goals for the superintendent to not just look at these areas, because that's strategically where we agreed we're going to go, but then there will be some other goals.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. But the goals have to come first. So I think what your question was when we get someone to help us with this.
Goal setting.
It's goal setting.
Thanks.
Okay.
So it's really a goal setting workshop.
I know it says
I'm with
strategic
you now.
Plan, but
I'm
it's
with
goal
you.
Setting.
Okay.
I'm glad to know that.
Thanks. So yeah, that clarifies.
Goals and objectives.
And
goals,
then when we have the strategic planning workshop, we will look at our new goals or our old goals and how it fits in.
And I think
the
history.
The high impact goals.
Yes.
Right. So
and the history of where we've been.
Perfect.
Right.
Okay, thanks. That clarifies. All right, getting back on track. Does anybody have anything else about the evaluation? No? No other comments? Okay, then we'll get together, make the changes. January 24th, if you could get me your comments, we'll incorporate them in and we'll have it back on Valentine's Day for a roundtable.
And with flowers, not candy.
Yes. McCain will be Cupid.
What? Oh, I love it.
And, all right.
You know,
what's he talking about? My ADD kicked in there for a minute. I don't know
what
he's talking about.
The former chairman did not have to do an evaluation last year because the superintendent
was Harry was leaving.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's I really
idea.
Think that if there's any dirty work
it
that needs to be cleaned
sounds
up.
Sounds good to me.
That was to the former,
that's
the former chairman.
All right.
See you
at 1 o'clock.
Thank you, dear.
I just saw you.
That's all. You didn't have a sandwich. There's.
What was it? I don't even know what day. I just saw it 10 bucks.
It was for last Tuesday.
Oh, okay. I don't care.
This is
I believe you.
I believe you.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
thought you were going to get more money out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, all you got to do is send money out.
It worked with McCain.
So I guess
it's
a haircut.
Not being haircut today.
I keep gassing the whole
thing right now.
My dad?
Thanks for clarifying.
This was a good session. This was a really good session.